Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Well, I sort of tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead, and there are a lot of other things there on the website. I think of it as a little bit of small business heaven. I think you can find just about anything you're looking for to help you start, run, and grow your small business and have the maximum opportunity to be successful with it. And one of the people who helps us do that is our guest this half hour, Dr. Lance Kirk. Lance is the president of Kirk & Associates, which is a consulting firm, and focusing on helping organizations and individuals develop their leadership ability. He's also an associate professor at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh and an adjunct professor at Carnegie Mellon University. He's a member of our Brain Trust and our friend, Lance Kirk. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. He's also, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned earlier in the hour, the author of The Wisdom of Alexander the Great, and that's what we're, one of the things that we're here to talk about. Lance, you recently made another trip to Athens, Greece, and you were telling me off the air how you've observed this, how this city has changed itself over the last decade or so. And
yeah, my first trip was almost 30 years ago and another one about 15, 18 years ago. And I went back to do a little more research on a possible second edition of my book since it's being so well received. And while I was in Athens, I was absolutely flabbergasted. I can't say on the radio strong enough terms to convey how radically that city has changed from what a dump it was, and I'm being very polite with that word, into, you know, it's still got the concrete poured Eastern European communist architecture, which is to say none, but the city is palpably different. And you think about any big city, you know, like Pittsburgh, there's such been squabbling going on for 100 years. Very few things get done in any expeditious fashion because every single politician and business leader has their own idea what needs to be done. And somehow in the last decade, Athens went from being this dump to a really welcoming, nice place. And what happened was someone said, we need a vision. And that vision was to bring the Olympics to Athens, Greece. And the idea of just, you know, everybody got on board. Businesses, the government, everybody got on board and said, that's a great idea. And, of course, the Olympic Committee has standards for the mm-hmm. cities that host these things. Mm-hmm. So they did little things. They renovated, under private initiative, 1,000 hotels. They taught the cab drivers to speak English. I mean, we can't even say about that about some of our cities.
That's right.
There's a maitre d', I mean, not the wrong word, a concierge in almost every hotel that someone in that hotel speaks English. I mean, I had to learn a little Greek last time I was there. And it just, the signs, instead of just being in the Cyrillic alphabet, have underneath it the same word written in the Latin alphabet so that you don't know what it's saying, but at least you can transcribe it and get a sense of where you are and where you're mm-hmm. headed. Which, of course, when you rent a car, makes a big difference.
Right.
So the story I'm telling you is the power of a vision is so mind-bogglingly strong that it can transform a moribund city in less than a decade. You know, if a city can do that, what can your listeners do with their businesses?
Absolutely. And the thing that somebody had to do in Athens to get ready for what they got ready for, somebody had to have a vision way out in front of when the delivery date was, didn't they?
Oh yeah, like for a good decade they worked on that.
Yeah. So it took It took a lot of vision, but it also took a lot of courage and it took a lot of patience, didn't it?
Well, that and both of those, but also collaboration. They built all sorts of alliances. For example, they convinced the EU to contribute huge sums of money to develop their road system, and they had enough money to build a whole brand new airport, and it is absolute state-of-the-art. It's perhaps almost as nice as Munich's airport, which regularly wins best airport in the world.
Now, they had a goal in mind. The goal was to get the Olympics, right?
Yep.
That was sort of the flag that was waving in front of them that they were all following.
The dream.
Now that is come and gone, how are they holding up over there?
I can't answer because, you know, I'd have to go back another 5 years and see if it goes downhill again.
Right.
But my guess is that my experience with organizations is when you take the organization to the next level, it tends to stay there. It tends not to regress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, organizational change it can undo itself if not done properly. But small businesses tend to have the power to be able to enforce changes and make those changes stay about. When you've got a good, powerful leader at the helm, you change that culture, you change the dream, you change the process, you change the organization, it tends to stay changed. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Athens.
Well, when you talk about this vision that a small business should have, should it be focused on a deliverable goal, something tangible, something out in the future that we can accomplish, like going public or whatever that goal might be? Is that a good idea?
Well, do you mind giving you an Alexander the Great example?
Absolutely. I hope you will.
I went back to Macedonia, which is a state in northern Greece where Alexander was born and raised, and his father, Philip II, was born and raised, and stood in the main hall, like the dining room, living room, the actual stone floor is still there, and stood where Alexander stood when his father was drunk at a wedding ceremony marrying his eighth wife, and the uncle of the new wife-to-be insulted Alexander by saying, well, now we're going to have a legitimate heir to the throne. And Alexander is, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
and has been training his whole life to become the king. And he was so incensed, he threw this cup at Attalus, the woman's uncle, giving him a big gash in the head. And his father, Alexander's father, was so upset that he drew his sword to slay Alexander. But he was so drunk, he fell down, tripped over one of the couches on the way over to Alexander. And Alexander's answer was, this is the man that is intending to go from Europe into Asia and conquer the greatest empire in the world. He can't even cross from one couch to another. Turned around and walked out of the room. And his father yelled behind him, you're banished. And it's sort of cool. It puts, you know, your arms stand up, your hair stand up in your arms when you're standing in the spot this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander had a vision that was so impossibly grand. He was going to conquer the world. He's a boy. I mean, you know, a late mm-hmm. teenager. And he's going to take on the largest army ever assembled in history with his microscopic little Greek army.
Right.
So to answer your question, it's not just about we're going to have, you know, version 2 of the software.
I got to stop you, Lance. We've got to take a quick break. We've got to sell some stuff. We're going to be right back. We're going to get Lance to finish this little story right after these messages. Stay with us. 20 after. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. Lance Kirk, the author of The Wisdom of Alexander the Great. And Lance's name is spelled K-U-R-K-E. If you're Googling him or if you're putting his name into any of the online bookstores or if you're asking about his book, which they may be sold out of at your bookstore, then you know how to ask for it, K-U-R-K-E. And Lance, why don't you tell us, you have a website for the book?
I don't. No. It's just through the publisher, and,
all right.
and it's available for every
wherever,
internet site.
Yeah. Wherever books are sold.
And over 200 websites have it for sale.
Congratulations on that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, folks, it's doing very, very well. We know more than 20,000 copies have been sold. It's only been out, what, about 9 months or so, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, 8, 9, 10 months, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what are some other things? You were talking about small businesses and...
Well, you had asked the penetrating question, which I was 90% done answering, if you don't mind my wrapping it up. You
yeah.
said, you know, what sort of vision do we seek? And my answer to you was, well, what I do in my strategic planning practice is get people to have, you know, aspirations that are doable in a short term. But people like Alexander dream dreams that are so enormous, so incomprehensibly beyond, you know, us mere mortals, that it may be a better answer is that we need to dream bigger dreams. And I've never met anybody on their deathbed that said, gee, I wish I hadn't dreamed so much or tried to do so much. I wish I had smaller aspirations for myself. And so my advice to small business people is, you know, you're the salt of the earth. You're the future of jobs and the economy. You set aspirations for yourself that are far grander than you might otherwise think you're capable.
You know, Michelangelo once said, we don't always think of him as a philosopher, but he actually was. And he once said, the danger is not that you aim too high and miss it, but that you aim too low and reach it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my advice.
Yeah. One of the things that let's continue this theme of vision, and because small business owners, I think when they, especially if they found a business, if they start a business from scratch, as many of them are, you know, in the beginning they may not actually have that much vision about it. It may simply be a reaction to something that's happened to them. Yep. I mean, a lot of small businesses are begun because somebody needed a job. They need to feed their family, and this was, and in America you can do that. You can start a business and go into the marketplace and carve out a niche and try to make a living. But then at some point in time, you start saying, wait a minute, you know, I'm a business owner. There's opportunity here. I could be doing something. Talk to us a little bit about some principles that you've learned from Alexander the Great that would help us to develop that kind of vision.
Well, first of all your comments are right on the money, I think. I've worked with a lot of small family businesses that started out literally just an opportunity. You know, you went to your employer, you had an idea, the employer didn't want to do it, you quit and do it yourself, and it's fine. It pays the bills for a while. But a few years later, you have a thriving business, and you look in the mirror and you say, oh my gosh, what have I done? And what am I going to do with this thing? And what's going to be my legacy? And what's my exit strategy, et cetera, et cetera.
Like the dog who chased the car and caught it. Now that I got it, what do I do with it?
Now what do I do with it? One of the answers is that I think, and this is less from Alexander than just my own experience working with businesses, is that I rarely meet organizations that try to reach too far. Almost all small business entrepreneurs are fairly risk adverse. Now, I'm not insulting your listeners with that statement because they're very brave individuals to dare to go do it. Once they've got it up and running, they somehow seem to revert. They're still entrepreneurial, but they seem to revert to, I got to protect what I got. I've made it. You know, I have this monthly salary and a nice car and whatnot. And they become less entrepreneurial, less risk-taking than they were themselves 5, 10, 15 years ago.
I see that actually even more so in the inheritors of these businesses.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they didn't really go through the pain of creating this.
Yeah, the second generation, that's a whole other radio show. Mm-hmm. But the second generation's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not open that can of worms. It's too big of a can.
We can come back later.
So my experience is that you know, you work with people and they've got opportunities to vertically integrate backwards, buy, for example, a major supplier of theirs that would guarantee their company's existence for decades to come. But they look at the bank loan and say, geez, I got to put my name on $1 million loan and I'm 50X years old and, you know, I don't want that kind of risk hanging over me. So they don't do it when it's the right thing to do strategically. Whereas, you know, 10, 20 years ago, they'd thrown caution to the wind, done it, and it would have been the right thing and worked out better.
Well, what do you recommend that they do? I mean, you got to admit,
dream bigger dreams. That's my tag in the website that's about to launch here. Dream bigger dreams. That's the big flaw I think that we all are guilty of personally and organizationally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do it with our management by objectives. We do it with our own personal goals for the year. We do, our strategic plans are underwhelming, and across the board, I think that we don't. And this is something I learned from Alexander. When a 17-year-old boy can conquer the world, just to remind your listeners, this would be like, you know, the Minneapolis police force conquering North America in a decade. I mean, how outrageous is that? But that's what he did.
Lance, you mentioned you teased us with a little website. You got a new website coming out?
It should launch here within a few weeks.
All right. You want to tell us?
Kurke, K-U-R-K-E. It'll be.
Say it again.
K-U-R-K-E. I've got all sorts.
K-U-R-K-E.com?
Mm-hmm. Or KirkandAssociates.com.
All right.
Or ampersand.associates.
Thanks, Lance, for being here. Good job today. Lance Kirk, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. The author of The Wisdom of Alexander the Great. I'll be right back with June Reed. She's in Baghdad. That's right, Iraq.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.